Hello and welcome to or back to Conversations with My Friends. Joining me this evening, Deck Hadley.
Hello, hello, hello.
Raph Zappia?
Yeah, Raph Zappia.
Oh, nice. I didn't know how to pronounce that. I thought that was just your sort of like alter ego.
Perfect. Zapier. Zappia. I don't know why.
Zappia, Zapier. It's all
depends
good.
How you say it.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me this evening. We're going to get into what you guys do for a job. Now, I know we spoke before, but Deck, give us your official title.
So my job title right now is an RSW practitioner, which means like a residential social worker.
Okay.
Which basically is like a carer for like in a care home for children.
Okay.
So a lot of people, like when you say RSW, like, and you say residential social worker, think, oh, so you're a social worker for loads of kids.
Right.
But it's actually like looking after them as in like a full-time parent, if okay. that makes sense. But for like for me, it's a 24-hour shift.
Nice, nice. Raph, what's your official title?
So I'm a social, emotional, mental health teacher. I teach at a secondary school. So
nice.
Kids, yeah, they have their own challenges and I try and help them.
Nice. So how long have you been doing that for, Raph?
So actually 8 years, yeah. So when I first came here, I got the job, applied for it, something I wanted to do, the sector that I wanted to get into, special needs. So yeah, I've been doing it for 8 years.
Nice. What about you, Deck? How long have you been doing yours?
So I finished uni and I always wanted to work in, so I did sports coaching at uni, so it's completely nothing to do with what I do now. But I always wanted to work within children with special needs in sport.
Right.
But it was more down the like physically disabled kids in sport, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But straight from uni, I applied for a job as, this is my old job, for a teaching assistant in an SEN school.
Okay.
And got that straight away.
Yeah.
So then just took that up, and then as soon as I started working with kids with like within an SEN environment.
So SEN stands for, again?
Special Educational Needs.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So like most people think that's like children, for example, like with Down syndrome and stuff like that, but it's like more like ADHD and autism, stuff okay. like that.
It's very broad. Like you have sectors within the SEN as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mild, severe, learning difficulties, behavioural. There's like loads of other like offshoots from the tree.
Yeah.
In that umbrella.
So what's yours, mild or?
When I was there or what I do now?
When you was there?
So it was a range. So the school actually had only, it was a secondary and primary mixed into one.
Yeah.
But it was split into two sections.
Okay.
So each member of staff had their own set of keys and like with a fob on it, and all the doors were like magneted. So like to get to primary, you had to go through one magnet door into the dining room, through another magneted door, then a little corridor, then another one and another one.
Well, they like security doors or just like normal like?
No, so like literally like, you know, like it's hard to explain, but like, you know, you got like the little black fob.
Yeah.
And like you got a little like key box.
Yeah.
You just put the fob on it and it'll like release the magnet at the top.
Oh,
and you just
I pull see. The door open. Okay.
But they're all like heavy duty doors.
Cause they get it's like the secure unit. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, secure
it's unit. Like kind of like a secure unit, but obviously not as bad.
Yeah.
Or not as secure.
Yeah.
But like, cause they have to be like that. Cause obviously you've got kids that could be in sixth form or year 11
mm-hmm.
and you've got kids that are in year 4
right.
So like obviously they've all got their own difficulties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And some might not be very nice at all. So like you don't really want them hanging around a 6 year old that with their language that they use.
Right, okay.
But obviously the school was very mixed. There was children there that were just had like learning difficulties, so they had like severe dyslexia, stuff yeah. like that, and like their behavior was bang on, like right. nothing, never out of like a line, anything like that. Some of them are just there because they've got like severe, like a kid had severe diabetes.
Okay, right.
But
okay.
like, and then, but because of that, he was like a full on like mute because oh. he didn't want anyone to know what was going on. Anything.
Okay.
But at the same time, he was foreign.
Okay.
So like, didn't speak a word of English, didn't like anything like that, no one knew where he come from,
yeah.
nothing like that, no passport, he was just found. So like,
blimey.
But yeah, so never, like, I think I heard him maybe say like 5 or 6 words the whole time I was at school, and I was there nearly 2 years.
Really?
But that's one of the things, but his behaviour was spot on, bang on, never a problem, anything like that. But then you've got another kid that is really smart, but is like really badly behaved, like will just walk up to you and spit in your face, smack you for no reason whatsoever.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Do you get that much rough or no, where you work?
Yeah, it can vary. There's loads of scenarios, incidences that have happened. They all have their own individual needs, which I focus on the educational side, but the school has the residential side as well.
Okay.
So they stay there as well.
Right.
Yeah, they have their sets of challenges, but there have been loads of instances of aggression, violence, mental health. There has been some times they might have suicidal stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, you have to do all those, like, procedures and put those things in place because those incidents happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, every student have, there's no one type of student. They all have loads of things that might be in common, but it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's all, it's not individual. It's like, sorry, it is individual. Like, they do have loads of things that are going on in their lives. So,
but is yours, is your school kind of as secure, like what Dex said about the whole
no, it's stuff in and out? We do have keys in that. There are some certain areas that have fobs in that, like staff rooms and stuff. I teach cooking, and I have the keys for the knives and stuff like that.
Oh, okay,
you
know, yeah.
You have the secure fobs for like the DT stuff and all those type of equipment.
Yeah.
Standard practices in educational settings anyways. But ours, my setting is a bit more open because we have, I think, half a hectare of land around it. So got some fields and stuff. And
yeah.
That. So, you know, if they do decide to leave site and go for a walk into the community, it's a long farm to the main road, so
All right.
You know, it's quite good like that, but it's quite open.
Yeah,
but you do have your secure parts.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, and what made you want to get into?
So that, I trained as a PE teacher in Australia, and then when I came over here, as part of my teaching, I taught in four sectors. So I taught at a specialist sports high school. I taught at SEN primary and SEN. High school as well, and then I liked it because I could get along with the kids. I could see what they're coming or their points across, and I thought I'd be good at it.
Right.
So and I found this job by chance, and I went and I, you know, I liked it. So yeah, I stuck with it. It's quite good.
Oh, okay.
It's rewarding when it is rewarding, but yeah, it can be challenging. But then, you know, it's not perfect, but it's good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, nice.
Right, yeah. I prefer my old job within a school to what I do now.
Really?
100%, but the money was crap.
Really?
Yeah, because you're just a teaching assistant.
The teaching assistants is one of the job roles in my school who are underpaid, but they do a lot, and I'll vouch for that because they do work their asses off, but they're not, their scale isn't the greatest as teachers and stuff. And it's unfortunate, but
yeah,
I don't know how that can...
It's difficult because in an SEN school, you can have a teacher, like a qualified teacher, like Raph or like anyone else that's like fully qualified, gone to uni or got the
equivalent. Like as a, what I would say, inverted commas, like a normal teacher. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If you're like, for example, George Holwell.
Yeah.
Like he's went to uni, like. Got his qualifications, gone, and he could teach. He could then go across to an SEN school with his qualification, but be paid still as a full-time teacher.
I would do.
But like in SEN schools, you can actually be, you can become an unqualified teacher.
Right.
So just before I left, I got offered that job before I left. And I think I started and I was on, this was about 4 years ago now, and I was on 15 grand a year as a teaching assistant, but it was like first job out of uni.
Right.
And then... through like a year and a half I got bumped up to like seven, just under 17 and a half, which weren't bad for a teaching assistant. And then like an unqualified teacher you jump up to like 22, 23.
Okay.
But so it's a little bit of a big jump, and but there is obviously more paperwork side of it.
Yeah,
but like some days, like I was always with like the hardest year group, whichever year group was coming through,
right?
But because you don't get a lot of men that stay in it for a long time, if that makes sense. Or it's like a lot of the teachers at my school were like female.
Okay.
And there was a few men. So like some days I was doing like 9-10 restraints a day. and some would last to like up to like an hour and a half.
Restraints, you mean obviously like pinning
like
them down?
Yeah.
Like right. Hold them.
But like you get taught, you get trained to do that.
Right.
So like you go on like a 3-day course and you have to have like an exam at the end of it. And
3 days?
Yeah.
Is that it? So when that's it, then you just do refresher courses after that, or is it
you
just
do,
like...
So you do the exact same course a year after.
Yeah.
But you just, it's a refresher, so it's a day.
Yeah.
You go over the actual, like, I want to say moves, but like the holds or restraints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
techniques
you still,
and stuff, yeah.
And then still take another exam. Oh, to right. Like remember, to make sure you remember what it is.
Okay.
But like I had a class, like I predominantly worked with year 8 and year 9.
Okay.
Because that's when they're like getting into their... like filling into their bodies, finding out that they've got a bit of weight behind them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like there was before kids in a class at my school, there's only 50 kids.
Right.
There's 4 in a class. So you got your teacher and yourself. So if one of them starts like kicking off, unsettling the class and then doesn't leave, you've got to physically move them out of the classroom.
Right.
So like I said, like we used to have Key Stage 3 and 4, which is obviously secondary.
Yeah.
And you could go outside into like the quad area where there was like some swings and some like gym equipment.
Yeah.
And if they went down to the bottom door, they could get into Key Stage 4.
Right.
And they could walk through, but separating that was a magneted door.
Yeah.
And it's just to kind of like keep them separate in their lessons and stuff, but they can go out and walk if they want to.
Okay.
But like, I would take a kid out, but then sometimes other kids are like opportunists that when they're purely just behavior based,
really?
They will... I'll be taking someone out because they'll be struggling with the work but don't want to ask the teacher for help, so they'll start kicking off to get yeah. them out of the work.
Yeah.
And another kid will then think, oh, I'm on my own now with the teacher and two other kids. And he can start then and just go like that.
Right.
Where like but it's difficult.
Yeah,
like
they pick and choose their battles, yeah.
Really?
100%.
So you know you said like you get like the ones that come in for the behavioural stuff. You know, is that what gets them to your schools, if that makes sense? Is it just like they go to a mainstream school like kind of like I we did or and then well you, they just play up
you like. Can have a so most kids well I think every kid that's in an SEN school or like a SEN school, they've got an EHCP,
right,
which is an educational health and social care plan.
Okay.
So like if you realise like in lockdown I was still going to school.
Yeah,
with the kids, and that we just had them different in the different times because a kid with an EHCP takes priority over anything else, and
right.
they still need support.
Okay,
so like that could vary to it could, but they could have an EHCP plan and be absolutely fine.
Yeah,
because they've had trouble in the past, they've still got one, but at the same time,
could be referred as well
from
the school they're at previous.
They get referred by the parents. Can that happen or not really?
It can be assisted with. The parent,
okay,
or carer, whoever it is,
you could just
go through the programs and they will have their social workers, whatever, whatever agencies they're involved in can process that referral,
yeah.
And if it's a good fit for the school and the school says yes, then they'll take him in.
Oh, okay,
yeah, so you could have kids that, like, I don't know if you've watched it, but like, have you watched the latest Waterloo Road?
No, I haven't.
So basically, there's a girl in it. And she like struggles to concentrate, and then she boots off, and then it's worked out that she's got ADHD.
Right.
But you can just imagine like a kid like in school, in a mainstream school, and there's 32 kids in a class. He needs the help of a teacher.
Right.
He's got his hand up.
Yeah.
And then someone else got the hand up, and they go to that person first.
Yeah.
He's then sat there whilst waiting, trying, because he doesn't know what to do with the work.
Yeah.
He's sat there thinking, what do I do now? And then he's thinking, do I ask for help? Or do I get myself out of the situation?
Right.
And then it'll just be like, start making weird noises or start shouting.
You know what, like, that sounds like me. Like, do you know what? And I think when I was at school...
It says a lot.
When I was at school, I started secondary school in 2005 to 2010. And it was a Uffcombe school. And it's a good school, apparently. You know, you don't really know it when you're a kid, do you?
No.
Oh, this is a great school. You think, no, all schools are crap. Like, and it was rated outstanding by Ofsted. But I'm only talking, you know, nearly 10 years ago, probably, yeah, eight years ago. You know, if you was a disruption in your class, you would just be sent out, you know. And you're just a disruption. And you look at any of my reports, even through college, I remember one, my dad showed me it. It said, Aidan would apply himself much better. No, Aidan would be a much better student if he applies to his work as much as he does trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, that's what me. I was a class clown.
Yeah,
that's what I, every parent's evening.
But the idea, yeah,
was, your son's really clever if he put his mind to it, but he just wants to make everyone laugh.
Which a lot of people go, well, yeah, that's what it was. But that's the thing about schools back then. You know, I'm only talking, like I said, 8 years ago, where people were like,
someone's got to do it.
Yeah,
someone's got to.
If you're naughty, you're just sent out, and that was it. And then and I remember a girl on Facebook. She's not like a friend, but I just kind of got her on Facebook. She posted up that she was diagnosed with ADHD, a bit of borderline. Personality disorders and stuff like this, and she said, like, you know, had she been diagnosed at a much earlier age in her life, she could have had the support in order to have a good education, but that was it. So do you think that, like, especially you, Raf, because you work in the school, do you think that we screen a lot of kids a lot more than we used to now?
Nowadays they're coming, I think the external factors like where you grew up, access to everything. Look, kids are playing games like Fortnite and they're 5 years old.
Yeah.
So they're getting all these little things are coming to them earlier.
Yeah.
So then now I think there's more kids are now having or being diagnosed with whatever they've got.
Yeah.
Purely because there's more things out there to get diagnosed with.
Yeah.
There's more research about it. There's not enough money for all these things, but there is, back 10 years ago, there wasn't as much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's increased. The pandemic also, after the pandemic, there was loads more referrals. There was loads of kids struggling with things, you know. So,
yeah.
I believe, yeah, the times are changing and it can be worse.
So do you think there's more of like an influx now, especially in your sector, yeah?
A label the sometimes problem, can make you act on it.
Yeah.
Label? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
But I think, like, unfortunately, the SEN sector is a sector that will grow.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get into that industry, you can find a job easy.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, you got to be a certain type of person to get into that industry, because there will be things you see, there'll be things you'll look at, they'll call you this and that. You have to cop it and work through it.
Yeah,
but you have to be a certain person work in that industry. But yeah, it is definitely it's definitely.
But like you said, it's very rewarding at the same time.
100%. You know, you have those little battles. It's rewarding, and
anybody can be called anything at their own job, and they're not
customers. You just got to be able to firm it.
Really?
If and kids will get personal, really personal, but like to the point where you think that's not even, it's that personal, it's not even about me.
Yeah. I imagine they take them out your height and stuff like that, obviously, don't they? And like, you know, really go into you, the sort what, of, you, your you face
say,
and all
you,
that sort
you
of.
Say that, whoa, if you want me to start, I'll start.
Sorry.
That's why I couldn't work with it, mate. I've got too much.
Right, am I going? Yeah. I'm going to see Bill. But like, you will get, I've been like spat in the face, stabbed with pencils,
what?
Scissors, like, yeah.
What's
like,
the worst one you've had?
I had a chair throw at my face, but the chair leg hit me square in the nose.
Oh.
So I used to look after this one lad, and basically he was born in a tent. So parents were like nitties, proper crackheads, like, and he was born addicted to heroin.
Wow.
So he didn't have many teeth as it was, because they were all like rotted in teeth rot. But he honestly is my favourite kid I've ever worked with ever.
Right.
Like, just so, like, always like really clever, like in maths. Not so much anything else, but just literally excelled in maths.
Yeah.
And I think by year eight, he'd already done his equivalent of GCSE in maths.
Right.
Obviously, some kids take that in year 11 and still fail.
Yeah, I did.
But he already got that in year 8, which is like, what, 12 years old?
Yeah, of course.
But everything else I like, struggled with, class at football, like really like quite small for his height, what he should have been.
Yeah.
But like, and he had like, he wasn't diagnosed with anything.
Right.
And then he got diagnosed with ADHD, but he was quite slow, like in his head,
right?
Like, but he'd always he'd have little connections with you, but and for ages I was his one to one,
right?
So some kids do get a one to one, so they'll get a teacher, the teaching assistant, and you'll be in there too with like with the lad.
So it's like three of you then.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
But like he would pick up words that people are saying, like bearing in mind year eight, year nine, and by then you do know what racist slang is.
Yeah,
like you obviously got like the N-word and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but he would like, for example, like obviously this is in context, so this isn't me using it. He would like, he'd heard someone say the word coon,
right,
and would just walk down the corridor
shouting
and
it.
like I'm white, other teachers are white, and he's like, oh, you fucking coon,
really?
Oh, you coon, like that, and like you're trying to explain, but because he knows it's bad word.
I'm with you.
He'll say it anyway.
Yeah.
Like with the N-word, stuff like that. And I remember one day, like there was like a mixture of like ethnicities in this school.
Yeah.
Like, and he was like quite, he wasn't fully English, but right. No one knew like what actual like ethnic origin he came from.
Okay.
And I can remember once, and there was a bunch of black kids in the school, and he was like, oh, you effing, and yeah, stuff like that. And you can imagine what he was saying. And we had to like break up, it was like an incident.
Yeah.
And we had to restrain him, went into a classroom. Teacher followed us in, like a female teacher, and she was, all the classrooms obviously have locks on the doors,
yeah,
and just like a little glass panel,
because
you have to have a window in to be able to see into the room.
Yeah.
And we were sat down on this sofa, me and my mate, who we're always good friends of anyway, and we were just like restraining him, he was struggling, and we were in a double restraint, which basically means one either side.
Yeah.
And we were holding him, because he was like kicking off, then we were like getting spat at in the face and stuff, like we were covered in spit, and all the kids that he'd has been racially abusive to came to the door,
right,
the window, and I like just made like a joke to my mate Ollie at the time and went, I'm glad that door shut,
yeah,
like that, because he was sat on there going, oh, you're fucking,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
this, that, another, like that. And but like he's only doing it for a reaction off them.
Okay.
He actually is friends with them.
Really?
Plays football with them every lunchtime. Right. Like they're in the same year, they're in the same class, but he says it because he's got himself wound up.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
What it means, mate.
And then
really,
literally two of the door handle just went down. I went, oh.
Oh no.
No, like that. Two kids burst in, pick a chair up, launch it at him. If that would have hit his face, he'd have probably like done some serious damage because he was like year eight and tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just jumped in front of it, took the chair leg in the face. In the face,
yeah,
and then a lad just goes into his pocket and just pulls out a pencil that he's shot up and down with something, straight in my thigh, but luckily it snapped. As he did. Obviously, it still hurt.
It's got big quads, like, you know.
Yeah, massive. but then they just started kicking the shit out of him,
Jesus.
And we're trying to break it up to the point where we just jump on top of the lad that's getting kicked and just end up just taking the beating.
Yeah, right.
Because you can't ever do anything back, like, in sense.
Yeah, of course.
Unless it's last resort.
Yeah, reasonable force. Absolutely.
And it's self-defense. Like, if, for example, if a kid come in with a knife, or in the cooking room, yeah, if Raph was backed up in a cooking room and a kitchen had, like, a steak knife or a kitchen knife,
yeah,
and all he had was a frying pan, and yeah, he'd already jabbed at Raph once, Raph could smack him around the face and knock him clean out, and Raph wouldn't get into trouble.
Right.
Because it was a fear for life.
Yeah, of course.
But there is some... I don't know what his school's like as in backing, but, like, my company where I work for now, they always, like, make sure they say, if you generally feel like you're in serious harm,
yeah,
you need to do what you need to do, get out of that situation,
of course,
and get them off you,
yeah,
and they will say if you have to physically hit them with all your force and it does end up breaking like their nose,
yeah,
or
yeah,
something like,
yeah,
that, but if they do have a weapon that's dangerous, we will back you in court 100%, because the kids can take it to court if they want.
Okay.
But yeah, 9 times out of 10 you do get teachers that are a bit heavy-handed,
yeah,
and a bit full of themselves, and they do like to do that, and I've seen it firsthand where I've seen teachers, I've heard teachers go, not teachers, like, sometimes you have people that actually are there just to do restraints.
Right.
And sometimes they're...
Not security, because you can't really...
Not security, like, yeah, but, like, they'll just be like...
We have behaviour support, that's majority of the overall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to sort of stuff like that out, yeah.
Do but I remember one guy had a kid in a hold, and he spat at him, and then all I saw was this, the one teacher's art just... bend his wrist forwards like that in the restraint. He was like, stop spitting now. And the kid was like, you bended my wrist. He went, yeah, stop spitting. And like, you can see it firsthand. But like, at the same time, when you're the one, like, if you go and report that,
yeah,
it's so tricky because they can deny it.
Yeah.
You can sometimes get the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah.
And then you've reported a member of staff.
Right.
that obviously so it causes situations like that. But luckily at that time, it was caught on camera.
Yeah.
Because there's cameras everywhere in right. the old school.
Yeah.
Compared to in like the homes where I work now.
Yeah.
There's no cameras at all.
Okay.
But there's such a massive range of where kids come from.
Yeah.
Like I've said to you before this, there's been kids that have been passed around like paedophile rings and sex rings from the age of like 4 to 5.
That's mad.
And but then they'll come in like kids will come in and they'll be like running around the classroom and they'll be like 6 years old and they're like, does anyone want to come play with my willy? Does anyone want to come kiss my bum? And they just think it's genuinely
joking.
And they'll just come out as it. Whereas if like you've got a year 10 student like, oh, does anyone want to play with me? Like, and everyone will start laughing and they'll laugh together because he's made a joke.
Oh, I see.
That's his act. But the younger kids, that's their actual, like,
that's what they
that's
think.
Their vocab and that's what they think that is going to happen.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's quite, that's quite heavy. But like, you know, when stuff like that happens, when you're getting chairs thrown at you and pencils stabbed in you and knives pulled on you, is it those moments where you kind of just think, what am I doing? You know, like.
You'd like to think that, but that's why when going back to what Raph said, you've got to be a certain type of person to do it.
I guess so, yeah. It's occupational hazards, I guess, isn't it?
You sort of know things like that is going to happen, and where you have your training, your educational background, you're going to train to know how to deal
with
those certain situations. You are the professional. You are the educated person there. You fight fire with water.
Yeah.
Because you have to model the behaviour that should be seen and done.
Yeah.
And you are the role model. If you're not and you do it wrong, then they're going to think it's all right.
Yeah.
So it is a tough game.
Yeah.
And if you are supported by your, wherever you work, my school, they support us. We have radios.
Yeah.
We have behavior support. There's cameras. You feel supported. We have the training. And you do your job, you do it well. It's all good.
Yeah.
When you're in the situation where it could be an incident and that, then you play it by ear and see what happens. But there are procedures in place and you know, it's all about being trained and in your head you know what to do because you're trained to do it.
Yeah.
If a new member of staff has had that training and you see stuff like that, they ain't going to be as good as if someone with experience.
Yeah.
It's in any job, it's going to be like that.
Absolutely, yeah. And what about like the sort of... what about the stigma then that's kind of around places that you work in? Because I remember growing up, you know, it was, to me, it was known as a naughty boy school, you know, in certain situations. And, you know, there's a centre that's local in Exeter where, if anybody is listening knows it, I think it's called the Atkinson Centre or something.
Unit,
you know, so I...
That is a secure unit.
Yeah, so I actually did a job in there. So But the way that you find it is like a residential area. You're in a cul-de-sac and all of a sudden you've just got these high, you know, like what looks like a prison, isn't it? You know, and I remember,
It's like this. There's not many around. There's a kids' prison in Bristol called Vinnie's.
Right.
And that is a prison for kids. So I've worked with kids that have come out of there.
Oh, I see.
And been in there for stabbing, for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Atkinson unit, more might be for like, they've come out of prison.
Right.
They need the next step to get back to reality so they've got more freedom.
Right, I'm with you.
Kids have been involved with county lines and they need to get away somewhere secure that's going to stop the link of...
I'm with you.
...of what whoever they're working for or whatever they're doing to get to them. Or it's like an actual reason for them not to like be out and be involved. So if like, for example, they're like, oh, I'm being put in the Atkinson unit.
Yeah.
They're like, well... he's no use anymore, blah blah blah, and that's it, and done like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, of kids can just be in it for just, it can be anything. Like, it could be you've lived in a like in a care home like I do, and you've gone from care home to care home to care home.
Yeah,
and you just keep physically assaulting staff. You keep running away.
Mm. I was going to say,
putting yourself in difficult situations, and to the point where it's got too much, and no one can handle it.
Yeah,
but it's so hard for it. Like at my house. So my old job that I used to work for, they had care homes linked to the school, but owned by the same company.
Right.
So like they would come in the morning,
like
and drop the kids off, like the carers, and be like, "Oh, obviously just random names. Jamie had a really tough morning this morning.
Yeah.
Really struggled to get up. How he had an incident, he has been held. So we know that he's already a little bit skittish coming into school.
Yeah.
Whereas some kids, other staff drop them off. They won't want to tell us what their life's been in the morning right. because they don't want us to have preempt like any yeah. moods or yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah.
But and they would hold in the homes where I used to work, at, like obviously that are attached to the school. So they would come in. Yeah, we've had to hold in this morning. Whereas my home where I work now, we don't hold the kids unless it's. I've never done one restraint. I've had to maneuver out of a break up a fight, maneuver out of being smacked and stuff like that.
Right.
But I've never actually had to physically hold yeah. because you don't really want to do that. That's their house.
Yeah.
You don't want them to remember being restrained where they live.
I'm with you.
Whereas at school, it's something they go and they go home, they forget about it.
Yeah, of course.
They come back the next day and they've got six new lessons or seven yeah. new lessons and it's different. But. It's not very nice holding a kid.
No,
like,
no,
you
not.
Can have some that scream. What do
you mean by, so you mean holding is in restraining?
Restraining,
them, or like
yeah.
holding
so,
them in a room, or
so you can be different. So so it's called a PI, which is like a physical intervention,
right?
But what it used to be called, I don't know what it's called now because I'm not in a school. Because if they used to do it at school, I'd have like a big ass form to fill in
right.
online to say what happened, what caused it, what do I think happened,
okay.
what type of hold did I do, how long did it go on for,
yeah.
what behaviours did I see in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's loads of different ones. There's like, I've split up a fight
right.
between like two little girls that are like 8 or 9 years old, then ended up getting bit on the bum to the point where I was bleeding just for splitting it up by a different kid.
Yeah. By a different kid.
That wanted to see the fight.
Jeez.
But then you get, I don't know what it's like at RAF school. We used to get kids just get naked and start weeing at you, stuff like that. Yeah.
What?
And as soon as any body part, as in to girls, obviously like chest and bottom.
Yeah.
And like boys, just like the nether region. As soon as that comes out, you can't go anywhere near them.
Mm. Well,
and if you do need to go near them, you need to get a massive blanket or a really? big towel or something that's going to cover the whole body.
Okay.
And then they can stay safe without anyone seeing.
I'm with you.
But it's so hard because no one wants to go at a child that's pissing at you or pooing in their hand and getting ready to throw at you.
Oh, they don't do that, do they?
There has been incidents.
Yeah.
What, at your school as well? What
yeah, feces and stuff.
No.
Up against walls in the rooms.
Smear.
Shower blocks.
Don't protest and whatever they call it, is it?
Yeah, stuff like that. So we were talking about, you said physical interventions?
Yeah.
It's called restrictive physical interventions, RPIs. So
yeah.
The holds and that. It's like a last resort pretty okay. much, you know, if they're going crazy, you know, you get some other staff member and then tell them, try and calm them down if it's the last resort. You put them in the hold, yeah.
Because because when you talk about this, I kind of, you know, my mind goes to kind of like, you know, like prison officers and stuff like that, you know, and they have to kind of restrain things and, you know, but first and foremost, you guys, especially you, Raph, you're a teacher, aren't you? That's yeah, you know, you're there to teach, you know, children with special needs and behavioural problems. But, and I was going to ask, like, and I think that you kind of answered my question, whereas, you know, what happens when these kids aren't, you know, like you said, they keep running away, they keep pulling knives out, they keep, you know, is it the Atkinson Centre and places like that are the last resort?
Depending on the student need, majority of the next phase, if they are challenging and they the educational setting that we provide isn't the best for them,
yeah.
would be a 52-week placement where mm-hmm. they're in a secure unit, like what you said as an example, the Atkinson, but for 52 weeks straight.
Really? So they don't go home, technically?
That could be a possibility, depending on if they can find them, if they're in care, if they can find them a placement.
Yeah.
If they can work with the family or carer to go back at home, they might do the whole year there, whole 52 week.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens there, it'll be whatever happens there.
So yeah, but it's still not classed as a prison, though, is it? It's still you don't. It's like prison's a different term. I appreciate that. Yeah. I keep using that term, but it's still an educational centre, though.
I
isn't
think
it?
That's why it's called. I think the best word to call it is a secure unit,
right?
Because it's as much as you like. People say, "Oh, he's assaulting. She's doing this. She's doing that." It's also for them.
Right,
because they're every time you go into a hold, they're putting themselves in danger as well as you.
Yeah,
but like, it's so hard to nail down what someone might need or what they don't need.
Right,
because for example, you might have a kid that's struggling a tiny little bit. I've seen kids before that have been struggling like a little bit of like when you're a kid or like 15, 16, not everyone, but kids will smoke weed
right.
and get into it. But like I've worked in a home or known of a kid that's been put into care just because his mom didn't want him smoking weed.
Really?
And then that turned him, he was the nicest lad ever. And then that turned him into something completely different.
Yeah, you get like institutionalised. To where
like people were finding like ounces of weed, like bags of coke, like stuff like that. And he was 16.
Blimey.
But like to the point where it was not just like your average, like, oh, I'm going out with my mates and we're going to do a little bit of this.
Yeah.
It was the point where you're like, where are you getting this from?
Yeah.
And where are you getting the money from this from?
Right, I see.
To do it. But like, but then it can be also be the best. Like you can have someone that's a little bit, or like a little bit naughty, or getting to the point where he's been expelled from six schools, go to a secure unit, and like, I'm not being funny, but like, if you were like a naughty kid or someone that struggled, and then you went to a school and Raph was your teacher, you'd be buzzing, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So like, and that might completely like level him out.
Yeah.
Or like going to see it, like the Atkinson unit, because a lot of them will be switched on. They'll go there and they'll like, they might have a light bulb moment. They might like hit reality of like, oh, I fucked it this time. I've been here for a year.
Yeah.
And then they might come out and be best kid ever.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can work amazing. Sometimes it can't. But it's, again, it relies on who's actually like going to be talking and who's going to be teaching you and looking to you.
Yeah.
Like when I was at that, my old school, like I, without like sounding like big headed or anything like that, I had like six or seven kids that were like, oh, I want Deck to be my one-to-one. But because you're young, sporty, and like a lad just wants that.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't have dads, some of them were in care.
Yeah.
They just want that brother or father role.
Yeah.
And whatever you say, more nine times out of 10, you'll have kids that you will be able to literally, and it sounds like brutal, but would be like a dog.
Yeah.
Whereas you could say, oh, don't do that, mate. And they're, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
But they're doing that because they want to impress you.
Yeah, well, I even had it at my school.
You build a rapport, the respect. If they respect you, it's half the battle in this setting. If you are respected and you give respect, you've earned their respect, you've earned their respect.
Yeah.
It's way easier to try and teach them.
Yeah.
100%. If you, you know, like I build a rapport with the students I work with and they respect me and I respect them and they get their work done.
Yeah.
And it's finding that balance.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things with students,
I remember being at school and, you know, my school was this type where they had kind of old values. I mean, the receptionist was there when my dad was at school, you know, and it was like they you know, and of course, is that stereotypical? The geography teacher looks like the geography teacher, the art teacher looks like the art teacher. And I gravitated. So when I was in about year 8, year 9, I gravitated towards like the music side of things. And then kind of year 9, 10 and 11, I then gravitated towards the PE, even though I didn't take it as a GCSE. But I always remember the PE teacher was always the coolest ones. You know, one of our PE teachers had like a tattoo or on his leg and it was like, whoa, he's got a tattoo. Like, you know, he can't have that. Like, you know, I thought we're not allowed to have tattoos. And I remember one of my teachers, funny enough, was Josh Lucy. It was his brother. So he's obviously not going to be listening, but Josh Lucy, the England player.
Yeah, you know, all right, mate. I'll just tag him.
It was his brother, and I remember he played professional rugby at the time. At the time, I think Chiefs won the championship. And I remember one PE session, I was talking to my mate. You know, someone's trying to give a demo and whatever. And I remember he just grabbed me by my sleeve of my shirt. And some people kind of like pull you towards them and go, wait, come here, like, shut up.
Yeah.
And I remember he grabbed me and I was at the end of the line and I was talking to my mate and he pulled me literally from like 20 kids long line and didn't let go of me. I had this firm grasp. You know, I was quite tall as a kid. I was probably a little bit taller than him and he just stuck me at the end of the line and he just didn't say a word and he just walked off and I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, and I
that'd be a disciplinary or a sackable offence now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just remember at the time, like I felt like, you know, there's other stuff that I'd done that he'd pull me into the office and, you know, there was, you know, I get shouted at by teachers and I get sent out and they're like, you know, you think you're a class clown, don't you? And I just thought I was kind of like big and cool, but he just sat down in front of me and he just stared at me and he was just like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, well, you know, and he's like, well, it's not funny, is it? And he, you know, I felt like I disappointed him rather than I had like pissed him off because, you know, it's always, it's always better to ask for forgiveness than permission, you know what I mean? And I always remember he just kind of sat me down and was just like, what are you doing? And I had that respect. And I remember, like you said, it was a bit like a dog, you know, he just go, oi, I just go, okay. Yeah. You know, and other teachers would be like, how can you, you know, but then you get kids that, you know, respected art teachers. And I'm not saying it's whatever you whatever subject
that,
you like.
You get kids that respect what the teacher that they compare themselves to.
Yeah. But obviously, he's a very good rugby player. And obviously, I was the same as that.
Wanted
you know?
To be, yeah.
But I remember going back to the Atkinson Centre. I remember what I was going to say is that we pulled up to this place because my mum's friend lived down that way. And I remember seeing these huge, like, gates. And I was like, whoa, what the hell is that? And my mum was like, that's the naughty boys' school. You play up at school, that's where you're going to go. And I was like, fuck, I don't want to go there. And I remember when obviously it was years and years later to what I do now, I had a broadband fault in there. And it was like Atkinson Unit, Atkinson Road, whatever it is. And I was like, oh, okay. And I get there and I'm like, fuck, this is like the prison. And I was like, oh shit, like what am I going to see inside here? And it's like the proper like photo IDs. You've got to like bend down, have a look in the camera. And I'm like looking around and I'm a bit nervy. Like all I've got to do is like fix this phone line. And this guy comes out and he's like, oh, you're right? And I was like, yeah, like I've got this fault to do or whatever. And he's like, all right, cool, follow me. He's like, obviously, you know what this place is? And I was like, not really. And I know that was it. He was, as he was walking, I was like, so is this like a ball stool then, like a prison? And he was like, oh, no. He was like, no, it's more like a school now rather than it is that you just lock kids up and like throw away the key type vibe. And I was like, oh, okay. And he takes me to this like server room. And he's like, right. And like you said, every door that we're going through, you know, he fobs it. Mm. We open the door. We go into like this cavity. I can only describe it as that door has to shut. And he opens up the next
like
door.
It's like when you go in the gym sometimes.
Yeah.
He goes, one door slides.
It's like that. Yeah. So I'm, and he's like, right, yeah. And I've got like my tool bag here and I'm like trying to squeeze in. I'm 6'5" and like this thing. And he opens up the next door and we go through. And there's quite a few sort of like rooms we had to go through and corridors. And you had that sort of secure unit vibe, you know, that prisoner sort of like, oh my God. And I'm like, but there was no kids anywhere. So he goes into the server room and he's like, look, here's the radio. You know, I'm going to shoot off and you do what you need to do. And I was like, right, okay. And anyway, I was only there for about 5-10 minutes. And I'm on the radio and I'm like, hello? And he's like, oh, hello, mate. And I was like, yeah, is Aiden, the engineer, is it all right if I can just like go back outside? And he's like, yeah, no worries. Like, I'd see in a second. So we go back outside and all of a sudden we just start hearing these doors like opening and closing. And he's like, oh, it's just the kids that are coming out now. And I'm like, oh, like, do you know what I mean? I'm like making sure that everything's all secure and, you know, hiding all like the screwdrivers and stuff. And I even said to him, like, you know, is this going to be right? You know, I don't know what they're like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you'll be fine. He said, just, if they try and say something to you, mate, just kind of brush it off. Don't try and get into a conversation with them, you know, because they're going to see somebody new, you know, they're going to, all right, mate. And if you try and, you know, so he just said, so I perceive that as like, don't look them in the eye. So I'm just like,
you've got to remember they see the same people every
day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just, so anyway, that was kind of, that was my only experience of that. And I was just kind of like, whoa. And you know, you look at the, you know, we had to go through the canteen and no one was in there at the time. And it looks like, have you ever seen like, you know, like the prison, like 60 days in thing? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
You know, where all the chairs are like metal that are like attached to the table. You can't pull the chairs in. You've just got to sit down like in the prison yards. And it was all like that. And it was all like, everything was like stainless steel. And, you know, and I remember all these kids came out and I don't know what his name is, but like, hey, Mr. Jones, all right, Mr. Jones. And he was quite like, well, he's IT and no disrespect to anybody that works in IT, but he's, you know, quite sort of like IT-ish.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, all right. And they're like, yeah, not bad, mate, you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, who's your mate? And I was like, oh, fuck. And he's like, oh, nobody. And then just like carried on walking and stuff like that. And I was a bit like, oh, that was a lucky escape. You know, I could have got shanked or something like that. But like, but that's the thing. And like, I'm only sort of like hyping it up. But you know, that's the stigma that I think that some of these places have. You know, if you're bad, you go there. If you don't do well, you're this. If you're, you know, dare I say it, you know, if you're thick, you go to a special needs school. That was kind of what the... But like we were saying earlier, Dec, before we went on air, like, you know, everybody is technically on a spectrum, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Just depends where you sit.
Yeah.
Like I said to Aidan before, I said, I think everyone's on the spectrum, and I won't say who he asked me if they think they are on the spectrum.
It's Bill.
Close body types. No, but I said, like, I think everyone's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line between preference and routine and stuff like that. Like, so I said to Aidan, I said, even if you get up in the morning and make a cup of tea, if, for example, if he puts his sugar in with his tea bag, puts his water in, takes it out, milk in, stir, if that's the way he likes it, if I made him a cup of tea and he had to watch me make it, and I put tea bag, milk, sugar all in at once, then hot water and stir it all around, take it out, he's going to be sat there thinking, I'm not going to fucking drink that. But that's his preference, but he also has to do that for him to know that he's going to enjoy that drink. Whereas a child will get up in the morning, some children with autistic traits,
yeah,
know that tea's at 7:30. And if you're like, oh, just to let you know, tea's at 7:45 tonight.
Yeah.
You ain't going to sleep that
night. Yeah,
no. You're going to have an incident, you'll go, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can get, that can happen absolutely anywhere. And you can get kids that aren't on the spectrum, like, severely. Or you can get kids that are fully on.
Yeah.
And they need to know their whole timetable. They need to know the time of everything that they're doing.
Really?
They need everything possible. And you can't just say, oh, should we go and play outside now? Because they'll be like, whoa, that's not what I'm doing.
Really?
No, no, no. Even though they'd want to go and do it.
Yeah.
They'd be like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But you get, like, there was a kid at my old school and he had pica, if you know what that is.
No.
So that's like basically where you eat or drink stuff that isn't edible or drinkable.
Okay.
So that could be, he could chew wires and like,
Well, that's a condition, like.
Yeah. So like, and he, unfortunately for us, would eat his own feces.
Oh no.
So you know, if he was going to get into a big state.
Did he know that was wrong?
And like, that's the thing, like, because some kids know it's wrong and they're told, like, look, mate, this isn't natural.
Right.
Like, you can't be doing stuff like this. But when you get into that heightened state, there's a gland in your brain called amygdala or something like that.
Okay.
Amygdala gland. And basically, it releases like some sort of like hormone. So if we were to have a fight now,
mm-hmm.
that hormone would be released.
Should we try?
In the last 5 seconds, sometimes you wouldn't be able to remember what happened.
Okay.
Because that's taken over and taken, and that's put the rage or the, you'll put you in a heightened state.
Because a lot of people say, I can't remember what happened.
So some kids will go into like the highest when you're being held, and like they might come at, like, I don't know, they might break a door, kick a door through.
Yeah.
And so a screw might come out the door and they might put it between their knuckles. And then come at you like that and go to hit you. Or this lad might put his hands down the back of his trousers, ready to obviously do what he needs to do in his hand to go put it in his mouth.
What?
So if we're stopping that from happening, as soon as we see a hand reach and we stop, if they then kick off and do whatever, we'll say, look, why did you go to reach your hand down the back of your trousers? Like, to say, why did you feel the need? And he'll go, I didn't.
Oh, really?
To the point where they're like, I dead didn't, where you're going to get yourself into another incident because you're telling them they did and they're saying that they didn't, but purely because they can't remember what it is. And I can't remember, I'm not going to try and pronounce it again because I just fuck it. But and it just releases like a hormone that stops you forgetting.
Wow.
Or makes you forget.
Okay.
But like sometimes you might get into a fight on the rugby pitch or whatever, and then you think, oh, what happened then?
Yeah.
Or and stuff like that, or like in a high, like arousal state, you might just forget what's gone on, but it's because your brain's taking over and putting you either in the fight, flight, or freeze mode.
Right, okay.
But you will get kids that will have different needs.
Yeah.
You'll get kids that will need to go and scratch themselves. But some kids will just do a superficial scratch where they'll get a paperclip and just go on the top of their arm.
Really?
And then they'll make themselves bleed like a tiny little bit, but keep squeezing it and be pushing it around and be like, yeah, I've cut my arm open, but really it's the tiniest little scratch
that
you wouldn't even need a plaster for.
Yeah.
But then you'll get kids that will cut their arms open, but they won't be telling everyone.
Right.
They'll just be sat there bleeding.
Wow.
But
do you think like these these types of children that have these like conditions or even behavioural problems, not necessarily kind of like, you know, self-harming, do you think that these kids can be kind of, is it just a case of managing them well, or is it a case of they actually could be cured? What do you think?
A bit of both.
Yeah?
I think a bit of both.
You can't cure self-harm.
No.
Can you? You can cure the mood to it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'd still be a bit of both, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on the situation, I was about to say.
Yeah.
It's education, showing them how to deal with situations differently. What are your options? Ideally, as a teacher, for me, personally, my belief is if I give them all the things they need to know, whether they choose to use that, it's on them. Yeah. We can only do so much. We are human beings as well as them. But if you can try and show them the ways to manage things, and they choose the best ways, or if at least they know the best ways, over time, it might help them.
Yeah.
Hopefully it does.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, at least they've been shown.
Okay.
But
it's their decision then, really.
Yeah.
You're facilitating them making a choice.
I'm with you. You're just kind of just showing them that, look, this is wrong to do this.
And the way we're doing it is in an easier setting where it's favorable for them to be educated in that setting.
Yeah.
In my school especially. But obviously it's not working in mainstream or other places. This is another way to do it.
Okay.
Type of thing.
So, fair enough.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a, and it's situational.
Yeah.
You can only try.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you have to try. You got to give the kids an opportunity to have these, to try, you know. It's all about opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
But that's what I think anyways.
Yeah, some things can fall flat on your face.
Yeah.
And come back. Like, there's so many different techniques to distract the kid away from it. So you got like change of audience. So like, if me and Raph are dealing with a kid that's in a classroom that's smashing the place up, and we've been with him for half an hour, he's not going to want us in that room telling him that he needs to stop doing this. So like, he might have a favourite teacher, because I could be his favourite teacher or his favourite member of staff.
Yeah.
But because we're initially there when it started,
yeah,
he knows that we know that he's been in trouble or he's done something to start it. Whereas like Raph said, he's got a radio, he could just say, oh, could we just have a change of face, please? Yeah. And then two other members of staff will come in and swap out.
Yeah.
And you'll go, and he'll be like, and they'll go in and go, oh, what's wrong? And then he'll just blurt out everything what's gone on.
Yeah.
And instantly just drop.
Yeah.
But you can change your face, change of audience.
Scenery even.
Yeah. Like, say, oh, should we go for a walk?
Okay.
Like, or like distraction. Yeah. Humor.
You might get a drink thrown at you, but to try and give him, do you want some water to calm down?
Yeah.
It's just one step, it's one little baby step.
Kids might love anything. Football, like, or rugby.
Yeah.
What was the score?
I've had it in my face for, and a kid was an Arsenal fan, and I knew that they lost the night before.
Right.
And we always used to banter and stuff like that. And obviously, I'm a Liverpool fan, and they played Liverpool and they lost. This was a few years ago when I was at the school, and I knew that they lost, and we hadn't mentioned it all day.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he was a sore loser about it. Right. And he walked in, he gave me the smirk because he knew what I wanted to say, but we left it, had an incident, and I was like, are you just doing this because I also lost last night?
Yeah.
Like, normally that would be like, oh, fuck off, sir, like, blah, blah, blah. But it was, don't you fucking do that. Come at me, complete full-blown incident. And you wouldn't get in trouble for that because you're trying to...
Mm-hmm.
A technique, whereas like you might say to a kid, oh, even if like you don't play Xbox or play Fortnite, I go, oh, I played Fortnite last night, I had an 11 kill win or whatever, or played COD and I won this game. And they were like, oh, they might not have, but they want to look good to you and go, so did I, that's so weird. And then literally within seconds, I've gone from spitting and threatening to do stuff to going, oh, should we go and watch some videos on the laptop of some people playing it?
And these are just like techniques that you've kind of just taught when you come into these sort of like schools and homes and stuff, is it? Do you think that these techniques could be, or do they get taught in mainstream schools, you know?
Yeah, they do have, depending on what the school wants the staff to have on the training days.
Yeah.
You would imagine there would be some things like that, some type of training, but in my setting, in my school, we definitely have that. All the staff days, we do training towards RPIs and all that, how to deal with it, how to manage it, to learn new techniques, or what is the, you know.
Yeah.
There is stuff out there, yeah.
So where you work then, Raph, is that more sort of Like, what are the pupils like at your school? Is it just that they have autism, or do they? Is it varied?
So their social, emotional, mental health covers everything. To do, we could be autistic traits, Asperger's, behavioural difficulties, challenges.
Yeah.
Mental health and everything like that. It's a big range of things that students can have.
Okay.
And come to the school with.
Yeah.
So yeah. If they refer to us and they come to us, they will have some of these things with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you have to stick to like some form of like, because I know with like mainstream schools, they have like, what do you call it? Like,
prospectus.
Yeah, or criteria that they might have to hit when they're teaching students. You know, when we all went to school, we all read of Mice and Men and we all did, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Is it because you deal with kids that,
you are a bit like Lenny, aren't you?
I am exactly like Lenny. I strangle rabbits in my free time. But so, you know, do you have like criteria, or because kids learn in different, they have, you know, like neurodiverse needs, is it just a case of like, do you tailor it towards them specifically, if that makes sense? Do you hit a criteria when you're teaching?
We do GCSEs, BTECs.
Yeah.
Functional skills, everything.
Yeah,
it's just the setting is different that would help them achieve those grades.
Right.
So, you know, instead of being in a class of 32 at my school, there's only 40 and under.
Okay.
As the whole school. So you're in classes of 4 to 5 right. with your TA. You know, Deck talked about how when he was teaching, it's similar numbers. It's easier for them to then concentrate, focus on their learning with the smaller numbers.
Yeah.
And that's why they're at the school.
Okay.
But other students that may want to do qualifications that cater to them, if they're more outdoorsy, do an outdoor education qualification. If they're sporty, they do a BTEC in sport.
Right.
I do cooking, so they do home cooking skills BTEC. And if they like that, they'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't like it, then they'll be offered DT, you know, engineering or stuff like that. So, it can be, depending on the student need, educational healthcare plan as well. That you have to look at that and see what they want and what they could realistically achieve.
Okay.
So the curriculum is the same. It's just how it's delivered is different.
Yeah. Because where I work now, like I now, I'm not an engineer. I now train the engineers, and I've never heard, you know, so much emphasis around neurodiversity. You know, that's such a big thing, especially when you are in learning and development. It's like, you know, long gone are the days now where it's stick everybody in a classroom, write it all down, listen, okay, and, you know, PE or physical education has got to be practical side. You know, we tailor it to them, so we ask them, I mean, they're all adults, and they're not, you know, they're just regular engineers, but, you know, we put the emphasis on, look, how do you learn? You know, are you the type that you just want to sit down and be told something? And, you know, of course you get, you know, we train up to 8 delegates. And we move away from even trying to call ourselves trainers. You know, we call ourselves facilitators, you know, even changing the language to like, how can we facilitate your needs in order for you to understand what we're telling you? Because the job that we're in is quite technical. It's quite, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, you know, when I trained, it was kind of like a, you know, do what you want to do, and then just out you go. I think Raph's going to the toilet very quickly.
But have you heard of scaffolding?
As in, like,
not as in what you put around your house. So, like, scaffolding is like what you can put around the kids,
right,
to let them grow. So it's like a posh word for facilitate.
Right. Know? Okay.
Facilitate sounds better.
Oh, I like scaffolding.
But like, if you were to, if I said to you, right, there's an IKEA flat pack.
Yeah.
And I've took the instructions away.
Right.
I'm not giving you anything to do.
I'm screwed.
Yeah. Other than, if you were a kid, they wouldn't go, I don't know what to do. I'll go on the website and see if there's an instruction guide online.
Right.
Whereas you might do that.
Okay. Do you know what? I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think I can go online.
Or like someone might have like made a YouTube video of like, oh, my, I don't know, my set of drawers has come without instructions.
Right. Yeah.
But like with like the word like scaffolding and stuff like that, if I said to Raph, right, Raph, there's a jigsaw puzzle there, this what it looks like when it's done.
Yeah.
And then I say, right, these four pieces here, they're the corners.
Okay.
I'm giving him everything that he needs to start it off. I'm giving him a starting point. Whereas if I just chuck in the box, he's got the picture still.
Yeah.
But he's then got to then find the corners. And for a kid that can't concentrate or can't, like, focus for a long amount of time.
Yeah.
Not being able to have a starting point, you've lost the battle already.
Yeah.
So, like, we were in school, if I was ever waiting for the teacher, I'd always know what the next lesson was going to be and what potentially what the lesson was on.
Yeah.
I'd play hangman. Right. But with a word that is to do with the lesson that we're starting.
Okay.
But I'd always write three letters up on the board
mm-hmm.
and say one of those is the letters in the word.
Right.
So they might guess one and it'd be wrong, and they might guess it again. They'd be like, oh, you're a prick, sir. Like, there's none of them. And then they'll guess the last one, it'll be it. And then they'll get it. And then that's like an easy starter because one of them will get the word.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, well, actually, this is what we're doing today.
Yeah.
So if you wait for, I don't know, if I was helping out in PE.
Yeah.
And we were learning about, like, the anaerobic system, like, where, like, in physical endurance and stuff like that. If I put that in there, I'd then go into it and start talking. And they'd come in, and it makes it so much easier for the teacher coming in.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, sir, are we doing anaerobic? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, and just get straight into it. Whereas he gets a PowerPoint up and goes, today we are doing this, this, and this. Yeah, and everyone instantly goes, oh, fuck, how boring. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, Raph might come in, and he might have a picture of what they're making. And they've seen it and gone, fucking hell, we're making that.
Yeah,
let's get into
to do it. Because there's three different types of learners. Auditory, so they want to see.
Yeah.
Kinesthetic.
Yeah.
Is doing.
Doing it, yeah.
And hearing.
Yeah.
They want to hear. A lot of the kids in this sector, in the industry, they want to do it and they want to see it. They have problems listening like anyone.
Yeah.
If they don't want to listen to it because they're not interested, they won't listen to it. They see it and then they go, shit, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Let's go and do it.
Uh-huh.
They're more practical.
Yeah.
You could say a stereotype is that in SEN, students are more likely to do.
Okay.
They want to do more practical things, like playing games and doing woodwork, cutting stuff.
Yeah,
you know, chopping up foods and stuff like that. They like, yeah. But as you said, like, it is quite interesting in SEN and that, especially when they come with their challenges and how you then incorporate their challenges.
Yeah.
Or difficulties into your lesson.
Yeah.
But you know, when you plan it ahead, and you've got that information that you need. You can be successful. You might not be sometimes, but you have to keep going. Try new things. Think outside the box. If you look at me now, I'm not a stereotypical teacher. A lot of people ask me, oh, what do you do for a living? Are you a rugby player? I said, oh, I try to be a rugby player, but I'm a teacher. They know you don't look like a teacher. And I say, what does a teacher look like?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does a teacher look like?
That's the stereotype. You know what I mean? That was like 10 years ago when anyone but the PE teachers were wearing trousers, shirt,
that's it.
Suit,
the over jumper,
yeah.
You know, like the cricket jumper.
and that's the thing, that you've got so many different people that are in the like in that industry.
Because I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised when both of you said it, but I knew from early on when I first met you, Raph, like, you said, oh, I do this, that, and the other. But when I said to you, because, like, you know, you got the Palm Angels on deck, you got the Represent on, you know what I mean? Like, I just kind of thought, oh, this guy's like works on site, you know?
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
with a nice tan as well. Isn't it? But that's been, I couldn't think of anything worse of being on site.
Really?
Like, it's so, sometimes, obviously, you do have crap days and to the point where you go and you think, do I want to do this anymore?
Yeah.
But
get that with anywhere though. That's
that was rare. That was like coming off the days where I've done like 9 restraints and I've been literally in them all day.
Yeah.
And then I've had to write 6 reports up and I'm supposed to finish at 3:30 and I've left at like 7:00 at night.
Yeah.
And then I know that I'm back in tomorrow and more than likely going to be working with 6 of them kids that I've held the previous day.
Yeah.
But then like when you have got a stereotypical type, but then when you look at it, like, in a way, someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
But like, and now I think it's good that, like, you can get people that, like, some of the kids, like 16, 17, 18 now, want to dress like people do now, but obviously they can't afford it because some brands are expensive.
Yeah.
But like, so they'll look up to you like that. Like some of the kids that I look after, they're like, oh, your top's sick. Oh, I like your trainers like that. And then like they'll work up to getting something like that, like, 'cause you do get, they do get money to spend.
Yeah.
They'd like, for example, I think, I don't know if what it's like at your place, Raph, but the government pays something like £6,500 a week to house a child.
One child.
So we've got two. So that's about 72, 73 grand a month. But that's just like, they can have like autism, ADHD and stuff like that. But if they've got like a learning disability or like a physical, which could be like epilepsy, mild Down syndrome, like I think dyspraxia comes under it.
Right.
It goes straight up to like 9.5.
Okay.
So that's...
And what are they paying for? What is it, like food bills?
Yeah, like, so that's the thing. So like,
utilities
for,
and,
so like, for example, we have like, we'll have a cash sheet every month that like that's live, and the people that run the money of our company will put loads of money in, and it'll be on an Excel sheet.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, for example, it'll say food, category 109, and it'll say £750 for the month.
Right.
But we shop on a Monday and shop on a Friday.
Yeah.
But you're shopping for two young people, two carers that are living there for that 24 hours, and the manager that's there 9 till 5.
Yeah.
So you're shopping for five bodies, but that's for a whole month. And then each young person will have activity money. So like, for example, they get £25 a week at my place to do an activity. They get pocket money. So like, the older you are, the more you get.
Right.
You also get...
Do you like, monitor what they spend that on? Is that all like that?
So pocket money is like, that's theirs no matter what.
Yeah.
So like they're entitled to, on a Saturday, like it's ours, they can have that, and that can be in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've got a kid that's involved with like County Lines, or you know they're going to just go buy drugs straight away.
Yeah.
They don't get cash. They even say, what do you want to buy it for? We'll come and buy it for you.
Oh, okay.
And they'll have activity money, personal needs money. So like going for a haircut.
Yeah.
Getting deodorant, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And there's loads of stuff. And then you get like office supplies. We get a separate budget for fuel and stuff like that. But like, you've got to think, like, there's six people that are on shift across the week.
Yeah.
So my pattern is a Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Then Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. Then a Thursday. It does differ when you pull across, and it's at the moment we're a member of staff down, so it's all a bit out of sync.
Right.
But I'll get there on a Monday morning at 9:30 and I'll leave the next morning at 10 o'clock.
Right.
So we work from 9:30 till 11 at night, and we sleep from 11 till 7, but we get paid for going to sleep.
So you sleep there?
We sleep there, okay. Yeah. And we get a rate. So like, my rate is like £76 just for going to sleep.
Okay.
And that's in case you get woken up by an incident, by a kickoff, by them running away.
So you can have a 79. So you say 79.
76.
Sleeping,
yeah.
So you could have a easy 76 quid, or you could be up 3, 4, 5 times during the night. Geez, the same.
I'm quite lucky where I am, where they are quite all right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, people come and go. Like, the kids move on, do whatever, and you can get a kid in that's awful.
Right.
But just awful at night.
Yeah.
But you get, like, I've had a few incidents where I work where I've been up probably till like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But not for anything real bad, just like them being like doing it on purpose because they know they're keeping you up.
Right.
Whereas, like, I know some places they've been up in the night. Like, if children go missing, we're up quite late because we're filling out forms, we're waiting for the police to turn up because they come and search their rooms.
So they just actually, what, they just escape as such? Or
that's the thing, they're free to go as where as they want, really.
Really? Is it the same with your school, Ralph? Yeah. Okay.
Like, my old school, I used to have a kid that used to, basically, once he got into a state, would want to jump off a bridge and kill himself.
Wow.
So he'd jump over the first set of gates and run across, like, the school, like, entrance and car park. It was quite a long run.
Right.
People were out to call the police, people were chasing them. And there was only three or four of us men. Three were teachers and I was the only TA.
Right.
So I was always the one on hand that could leave and go as please.
Yeah.
And I was always the one that had to chase him.
Yeah.
But then because I was the one chasing him, he was year 11. He was not a big lad, but he was strong.
Yeah.
It was hard to contain it to the point where you were like wrestling at the gate to keep him in until more people come.
Yeah, right.
But you do get... Like, as obviously I went off tangent then, but the money side of it, there's five people that are all like my job title.
Yeah.
So you can become qualified and unqualified. So at the moment I'm unqualified because I'm doing my level 3, which is child and social care, which you have to do within 2 years of starting your job in the job that I do.
Yeah.
And basically it's like a year's course or 2 years course of doing assignments, and just basically they teach you, you get an assessor, get a tutor, and they teach you how to like basically deal with the children.
Right.
And I'm quite ahead of it already because I've done what I did before.
Yeah.
And you get paid, because we get paid minimum wage if you don't not qualified. So when you first start, you're on £9.50.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like it is terrible. And then as soon as you pass your probation, which is 6 months after, you get a little bit of a pay rise.
Right.
And then when you get qualified, you get another one.
Yeah.
So, and then you've obviously got a deputy manager that's in the house, but they do what we do, but just on a little bit more money and got more responsibility.
Yeah.
Then you have a manager.
Right.
So there is 7 members of staff within that home, and you think you're picking up 72 grand a month.
Yeah.
Say 3 months. That's 208 grand. You've got everyone's wages for the years paid.
Yeah, true.
Plus probably all the bills and all the activities for the year paid, the rent paid, everything paid for. You just got to look at what profit you're getting out of that at the same time.
Yeah, right. Is yours kind of similar, Raph? Do you get...
Well, in the public sector,
but yours, yeah, I guess yours is where the kids come to the school, aren't they? So they obviously go home afterwards.
Well, some of them live there, don't they?
We're a residential school where I work. They come in on Monday, leave on Friday.
Right.
It used to be the whole week and weekend as well, but at that time when they changed it, there was a lot of... the government needed to save some money, so they made cutbacks, and so it is what it is. That side of things with the money and that public eye, so you'd have... It's all government, Devon County and all that stuff, so...
Yeah.
I don't really have anything to do with that, but I know that to send a student to my school, you could go to a private school and live the other spectrum, so to speak.
Right.
And you'd still be paying less than sending the student to my school.
Yeah, okay.
So that's one of those things. But yeah, there is a rate for... a bums on seats type of thing.
Yeah,
I would imagine. I don't know the numbers, but yeah, it's the government's a bit different to the private sector.
Yeah,
and they're not making money because it's government, mm-hmm. so you're getting money from the government,
mm-hmm.
taxpayers and all that stuff, grants. Yeah, but yeah. So I'm just in the teaching sector, but we do have residential and touching back on the stuff with DEC and that, it's sort of similar, but they live on site.
Right, okay.
The thing about it is when you're on site, you're there, so we have programs where we write in to see what happens and everything, so you can monitor that as well. They do make pocket money. It's in form of some awards. One award equals 1p. That can be their pocket money. You can't take that money away from them, but if they do play up, you can just withhold it until they've come to an agreement and have acknowledged that there were... whatever happens, then they can get that money back. Not taken away, but it's there.
Yeah.
Just not when they want it.
Fair enough.
Usually they want it on a Friday because they're going on home on the weekend, they can buy their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that money is, to some students, is what they're gonna live off
for
the week, weekend. So it's quite handy like that. And yeah, it's interesting, it's different. You know, the public sector.
Yeah, all, right. Yeah. I bet. So Dec, I know you touched on it earlier very slightly, but the question I was going to ask is, you know, do you, not specifically obviously the kids that have been a part of the paedophile rings, but, you know, do you know most of your, should I say, ex-students now, or people's backstory or something like that? Does that, you know, when you see these kids that were saying those things like you said, like, does anyone want to, you know, touch me and all that sort of stuff? Do you get their kind of story as to why they've come to you and everything like that? So, and does it kind of pull on those heartstrings when you see that firsthand?
Yeah, massively. I think if someone, it's like in sense, it's like if you were to watch a movie, and the backstory would be like a kid that has been like abused or whatever, like that. If you're watching it live, it would touch you more than what it is because you're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah.
When you're reading it,
yeah,
a lot of the time you're reading it on your own because you need to take it in yourself and you're signing it because the social worker will send everything that they've got for that child,
right?
The reason for being in care.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be being physically abused, but when I mean that, like smacked around,
yeah,
like mentally. So honestly, like I've had some lads that, or kids on a few occasions where parents would wake them up middle of the night, take them outside and just get them naked and shit and hose them down,
really,
freezing cold water, and then bring them back inside, make them stand at the end of their bed and say, don't you dare get into bed, you need to stand there. What? You're standing there, you're not getting to bed, or I'm going to take you back outside. To the point then that makes them wet the bed then for years, because yeah, they've been woken up in the night being hosed down.
Yeah.
So their brain might think, we're going go into two states. One, shit, I need to wake up before they wake me up.
Yeah.
Or two, I'm going to be getting hosed down in a minute, and it's going to make them wee.
But it's a form of PTSD, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, suppose, like, isn't it? Yeah. And you read some stuff, and you think, how does someone ever come back from that?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're just lucky that, like, when they are a child, it's not easily forgotten, but it's easily worked on. Whereas if it happened to a 19-year-old or an 18-year-old,
yeah,
you're an adult.
Yeah.
And that's it for life. You're mm-hmm. always remembering that, always, and that is always going to be on your mind.
Yeah.
Whereas I've had lads that have been put into care because of, like, parents not being able to look after them.
Right.
And then, like, the government and the police and the social worker not knowing that their parents used to abuse them sexually.
Right.
And they're putting a kid into someone else's house for being fostered.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been cases where the child that's been fostered has ended up sexually abusing their own daughter.
No way.
Because of that's what's happened to them, and people, it gets missed.
Yeah.
And it only got come out is because a child said, you tell anyone, I'm telling you that I'm telling Santa not to come.
Right.
He got to that age where he knew Santa wasn't real.
Yeah.
And used it on a child that was considerably younger.
Yeah.
But did it because thought it was right.
Right.
He was the nicest kid I've ever met.
Yeah.
In my life, and you wouldn't think that of him, but because it happened to him and it wasn't found out until that happened.
Yeah.
He thought that it was that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because his dad had done it to him.
I'm with you.
But then you've got to think at the same time, you're reading it, how can a parent
yeah.
choose to want to touch their child inappropriately
yeah. Yeah.
and have some form of enjoyment out of it?
Yeah, of course.
And then, but that messed him up for a while.
Yeah.
But obviously he came to us after all this has happened, but obviously you read it. People have therapy, you go and talk to someone, and what is good, when they do go to therapy, I didn't go in.
Yeah.
It was someone that wasn't to do with school. They would only see them at school.
Yeah.
Random if they saw them out, but unlikely. Because yeah. they would normally get them from a good hour away, two mm-hmm. hours away to yeah. come in. So that doesn't happen. But to the point where sometimes they would share information that we needed to know. But he would get a girlfriend and he would be scared to hold her hand. And he was year 10, scared to, like, kiss her.
Yeah.
Because of he got into trouble before.
Right.
But what happens then to him is they get, I don't know if you get any children at your school, they get forensically examined.
Right.
So they will get asked a lot of questions. So they would sit down, they could ask you, oh, what would you do if you went to the shop and you saw a man dragging a woman away or something like that?
Yeah.
And off their answers of what they give, they can determine what you're most likely to be. So right, they could okay. come out of it and say, you're going to be a paedophile when you're older. Wow. You're going to be a murderer. You're going to be an animal killer.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And if they come back and say, even if the kid's not showing any signs of it, or like they're asking like questions, like sometimes you get kids that are like, oh, have you heard of consensual rape? Which is like, I want you to have sex with me, but I'm going to beg you not to, but I want you to carry on.
Right.
That is like a craze that's going on at the moment within kids at really? Like 15, 16.
Probably.
And even if they're just asking questions like that and they've been abused before in their past life or anything, or they might just be curious.
Right.
But if someone puts them forward for an examination and they're just living normally, like in a normal care home, whatever, like a site like RAF's at, and then they come back and say, I've got a 90% chance of being a paedophile, they'll be put somewhere else.
Really?
Straight away and taken away.
But it's all based on theory though, isn't it? When you talk about this, it's all theory-based analysis.
They're rare. You've got to show some sort of
Yeah, you've got to have a look to see what their upbringing was in nature and nurture and all that sort of stuff, isn't it? You know, and yeah,
if
there's
if you've got kids coming up to you like in school, or got the one kid coming up and going, yeah, I'm gonna rape her. But even if they're joking, or even if they're being full blown serious,
right.
Whether it's a joke, whether it's a, you know, if a kid's joking and it's not nothing to say, you would document it anyway and write it down.
Really,
no matter what it is, I like,
because there could be an instance where you kind of think, oh, is that a joking? And then something happens.
But then
you'd also be liable as well, because you are the duty of care for them.
Of course,
someone could go to Raph. Oh. I raped this girl last night, like laughing and joking, and Raph really knows this kid and goes, oh, stop being a douche,
like
whatever. 3 months later, he gets arrested for rape, and he goes, oh, well, I told Mrs. Opie, and he told me to stop being a dickhead. Like, then he's liable. We have a software called ClearCare. I don't know if that's...
We have other programs.
Yeah, but you could write it all on there. They've all got their files, all got their different areas, and it just goes on there, and it just be an information form.
Yeah,
he made this joke, he did this or did that. But you do read some stuff and you think, Jesus Christ, you think it's not possible, and you don't think, but like, now if I asked you how many convicted paedophiles you think live in Exeter,
oh God, and I wouldn't even like to hear the...
I think within like 3 or 4 miles of the city centre, maybe 6-7 at a push, I think it's something like 75.
Jesus.
Which is in convicted, as in gone to prison for stuff like that.
Talking about the ones that haven't been caught. Or exactly. Like that. Yeah, absolutely.
But there's
a guy I work with.
There's nowhere to put them. You can't say, oh, you can't live here because you're 2.5 miles away from the school that way, but you're only a mile from a secondary school.
Yeah.
It's unmanageable sometimes because you don't know where to.
Exactly. What do you do with them? Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I used to work with a guy who actually got, I think he got convicted. Yeah, well, he must have done, because I heard it on Devon Live, and you're like, what? Like, you know.
Yeah, a teacher at West Ex.
Really?
A year ago, got I don't even know what the word is. Like,
caught?
Right, got caught, but he also got, like, when you go down, like, you got sentenced.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and charged. Convicted, yeah. Like, and got charged with, like, basically, I don't want to say nonsense, but, like, like within being, like, sexual accounts and stuff like that.
Wow.
But it happens, sometimes people become a teacher or become to work with children as a cover,
because
it's the easiest place to do it. Mm-hmm. I've worked with my old school, and people have come in that have like been older and said, oh, well, a guy I used to work with used to, like, got caught touching the children at night when he was tucking them in.
Jesus.
But then,
yeah, and I remember I used to watch you know, like, you got the stuff on there, it's like paedophile hunters and stuff like that, and, like, you know, they would catch some of them, and they'd just be your average Joe, you know.
Netflix documentary.
Yeah. They got there's some of them where, like, they've got family and they've got kids themselves, you know, and they're being caught. But then you have the ones that are quite clearly mentally ill.
Yeah.
You know, I watched this one episode where, you know, they caught this one guy and it was like, you know, right, we've got you, and he was like, oh no, you know, I've been caught. But then they went to this other guy, like I said, quite clearly had mental illness and mental health issues, and they were like, you know why we're here, Dave, don't you? And he was like, yeah. It's like, you know, we've been here before, haven't we? And he was like, yeah. And it's like, you know, this is wrong, don't you? And he was like, yeah, you know. And it was like, and you kind of think, oh, I feel sorry for you, you know what I mean? Like, it's quite clearly, and it's, you know, you get the ones out there that are quite clearly twisted and sick, and then you get the ones that are just ill, you know. They obviously don't know right from wrong, and it's quite... You know, you think,
as them people are more than likely had it happen to them.
Yeah, of course.
But because it was around a time where there was no support, and nothing to talk through that and say how that shouldn't have happened to you, and how that wasn't your fault. Because then they take on that guilt of, what did I do wrong?
Yeah,
to the point where they don't know, where they think, well, if I don't know, well, this person's not going to know that I do it too.
Yeah,
and some people it's power and control. Some people are like, well, because it's happened to them and they weren't in control and had no power, they need to do anything they can possible to have power over something.
Wow.
But you could talk about it for hours.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. Possibly. Well, we're at an hour and 24. with Deck. I'm conscious that obviously now you're probably on call for work, aren't you? So, yeah, we'll wrap it there, if you boys don't mind. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been a good insight to the industry. Can't say that you've managed to recruit me, I must admit. I think I'll I think I'll leave that job to you boys. But yeah, once again, thanks boys for coming on. Finally, I know this has been in the pipeline for you're hard people to track down, you know. So
too busy changing lives.
Exactly. So yeah, thanks for listening. Again, I don't know who I'm going to have next on the podcast. Don't know when it will be. Don't know where. But yeah, thanks for listening. Thank you. Good night. Much love.